You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action. On this edition, you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with Alex Dunn, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Busy bank holiday Monday to come as well. We've got Leicester, Redcar, Windsor, Chelmsford City, Cartmel and Huntingdon in the afternoon. So we're action in both codes and on the all-weather there. And we've also got evening action from Ballinrobe as well. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio to look ahead to the best of the action is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
Hi, Mark.
Are you well, sir?
I'm very well indeed. Not too bad at all.
Good, good. We'll move on to Monday in just a moment or two, of course. But we've got to have a little bit of a look back at some of the highlights from the weekend. Very big weekend of racing with the Irish Guineas weekend at the Curragh. Plenty of good stuff on the domestic front as well. And as we record this, we've just seen Winter follow up her 1,000 Guinea success at Newmarket with a very impressive display at the Curragh. She's the real deal, isn't she? Good performance.
Yeah, definitely. And Aidan O'Brien seems to have plenty of real deals in his stable at the moment. So, yeah, he's completed the double-double, so to speak, with Churchill and Winter. And with the Derby weekend on the horizon, he's got two favourites chances in the Oaks and the Derby as well. So, yeah, his dominance continues in these big races, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's won all four classics to have taken place in the UK and Ireland so far this season, which is some feat already.
It is. Quality and abundance.
Yeah. Winter's been given a quote of 10 to 1 for the Eclipse. Would that tempt you?
Yeah, I mean, she does have a lot of speed, the filly, but breeding-wise, at least, she should get a mile and two. Aidan O'Brien said in a pre-season stable tour that he thinks she can get further as well. If that's the engagement that she takes up, she'd go there with a cracking chance. It'd be really nice to see her at Sandown, because I always go to Coral Eclipse Day, so, yeah, looking forward to it.
I dare say she might not be 10 to 1 on the day as well, if she does decide.
Yeah.
If it is decided she's going to end up there.
Yeah, it would be. It wouldn't be a likely target for a filly. I'm not too sure if she will even take up that engagement. It'd be interesting to see where she goes from here. I'm not sure if it's been mentioned as her most likely target, but either way, she's a very, very good filly with a bright future. It should be exciting to see how she gets on, if she can remain unbeaten for the season. Given how impressive she's been so far, wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah, we've also got a special market on the site as well. Number of Aidan O'Brien trained UK Classic winners in 2017. Already has two of them. That's 5-1 for it to remain that way. 3 is 6-5, 7-4 for 4, and 5 is 6-1. Who's to say he won't win
all of them?
All of them, yeah. All of the UK Classics. Want to talk about his winner on Saturday as well. Churchill winning the Irish 2000 Guineas, following up his Newmarket Guineas success. He's now the favourite for the St James's Palace Stakes on the back of that, 4-5 at the head of the market. He's an interesting one, isn't he, Churchill? Obviously got a huge amount of ability, but he's not flashy. He's more workmanlike than anything else, but still gets the job done.
Yeah, I mean, his form took a big boost today, earlier on today on Sunday when Holmesman won. Yeah, I mean, he is just a straightforward top-class colt. You know, he's lacking opposition. That's his problem, isn't it? We were saying it yesterday on air that he's lacking a bit of competition to really test him, to see what he'd be like if he had to get into a battle. I think Barney Roy obviously would be the obvious one to give him a real race of it in the St James's Palace Stakes, and he'd probably be the one I would pick out of the two at the prices.
Okay, 9-4 for Barney Roy at the moment for the St James's Palace Stakes. We also had plenty of good stuff on the domestic front, Haydock in particular, where we saw some real nice sprinters. Harry Angel, first of all, in the Sandy Lane Stakes, the Group 2, which is for the three-year-olds. He's going to go to Royal Ascot with a real big chance, isn't he now?
Clive Cox, the sprint king.
Mm.
Yeah, he's got some really nice sprinters in his yard. Obviously, Harry Angel, he looks the real deal, doesn't he? He's just got a really likeable way of running, and Gallopin seems to really enjoy it. Yeah, he's top class, and he'll obviously go to the Commonwealth Cup with a leading chance. Obviously, Caravaggio will be a sharp price favourite up at the top of the market for Aidan O'Brien, but I don't think there's a great deal between them ability-wise, and it's shaping up to be yet another fantastic renewal of the race with the likes of Blue Point, Lady Aurelia in there as well. Mm-hmm. But no, you know, I think Harry Angel goes there with you know, a favourite's chance, even though he's not the favourite, so to speak.
Right. Trimmed into 7-2 on the back of his success on Saturday. Second favourite in the market behind Caravaggio, who is currently even money. The Temple Stakes as well, we'll talk about that. Went the way of Priceless for Clive Cox. He had a good day, didn't he? And Adam Kirby. And what did you make of Priceless' performance?
It was solid, yeah. He quickened at the right time and put the race to bed there and then. It was a decisive move. Gold Dream was staying on all the way to the line. It was really nice to see him bounce back to something like his best. You can be sure Robert Cowell will be looking towards Ascot with him now to go and try and win the King's Stand again. But no, Priceless, he was a little bit indifferent last time out, but he put that behind him and, very good performance in the Temple Stakes.
Mm. Anything else stand out to you over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, just I was looking back at York, where, what's the name of that horse that won that state? Dan Harrelid. I think he could be a really smart stayer in the making. He beat two horses there, Nikita and Seymour, in that race, who were two solid handicappers. They were outsiders on the day for this listed event, but I thought there was a lot to like about the way William Haggis's Dal Harrelid put that race to bed. He won by 3.5 lengths and with a decisive and smooth turn of foot, and I think he could be anything in the staying division now.
Yeah.
So, for me, he was the standout performance, certainly one that I'd be looking forward to for the remainder of the season. But on a day, admittedly, there was lots of very smart performances, the likes of Fastnet Tempest over Chester as well. He was very good yesterday. Mm.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I couldn't see him winning from where he was, but he did in good fashion. So
indeed.
Upgrade that performance if you want as well. Right, we'll leave that there. That's a little bit of a glance back at what's happened over a busy weekend. We've got a busy Monday coming up, and we're going to get Kevin's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, plenty of racing to go out on Monday, and we're going to start in the 3:10 at Cartmel on our little look ahead. It's a handicap hurdle over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've got 8 runners set to go to post for this one. Hopefully we'll have better weather than we did at Cartmel on Saturday, where the meeting was abandoned halfway through the...
That was a shame.
Yes. It's a good track, isn't it? Something a little bit different, Cartmel. What do you make of this
race? A cracking track, and you're always on the turn around there, and people do think that it's a trappy kind of a short track, but it does take a little bit of getting because it's quite a long running. An interesting little handicap where Golden Dion is carrying top weight here, and his addition to the race means that a lot of other horses in there are getting into the race off nice racing weights because he's given £9 and rising to the rest of his rivals. So it'll be interesting to see how a couple of those can take advantage of that. Sandy Mount does look dangerous on the back of his market raising win over 2.4 miles last time out, but he's unproven at 3 miles plus, and that does present quite a big question mark for him. The one that I like is Morning Royalty, who made use of his stamina over 2.1 miles to score in a good time at Kelso last time out. He does stay well. He steps back up in trip to 3 miles plus here. I think that'll suit him just fine. And he's nicely weighted on off 10-6. So I think Morning Royalty can go close for James Moffat.
Yeah, and we know how well Jimmy Moffat does at the course as well, doesn't he? Local trainer, local
track.
Yeah,
indeed.
Morning Royalty then, the selection for Kevin in the 3:20 at Cartmel. We go to Windsor next for their 3:30. And this is a handicap over 5 furlongs, a Class 2 event. It's part of the Windsor Sprint Series. Field of 7 to go to post for this one. And I was quite interested in Yalla Win, the Roger Varian runner. Didn't get off the mark last season, but made a very impressive reappearance.
Yeah, he's unexposed and he's done nothing wrong. And he was a very easy winner at Ripon last time out. But there was nothing special about it on the clock by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think there's any room for error from his mark of 88 mark. He lacks experience as well, of course, and he's up against some hardy customers here with plenty of experience coming into the race. Evergay should run another good race for Robert Cowell. He's had 3 starts for the trainer and he's finished second on all occasions. I don't think there's anything deceitful about him despite a frustrating look to his form. I think he can go well again. But for me, the interesting one in the race is Ascot Day. He's really progressive on the all-weather. He's been gelded since we last saw him. This is his turf debut. The turf should suit him just fine. He's back up to 6 furlongs here, and I think he's going to be very dangerous for David Simcock, who's doing very well. He's trained 5 winners from 27 runners in the last fortnight, so the stable is ticking over, and I think Ascot Day is the interesting one here.
Ascot Day then for Kevin there in the 3:30, and we move to Red Car next. Their feature race is the 3:35, the Zetland Gold Cup Handicap. It's a Class 2 event over 1.25 miles. We've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. good race, isn't it? And it's a race that Mark Johnson's done well with in recent years. He's got Beardwood in the lineup this time around, and he's also got Rainbow Rebel, so he's having another go at it. But what do you like in the race?
Yeah, his two perhaps not quite as solid as some of his previous runners. Yeah, as you say, an interesting little race. Briardale would have to be up there amongst the chief protagonists here. He made all in a good time at Newcastle, two starts back. He was a solid second at Ripon last time out, over 9 furlongs. He's versatile, he's consistent, and he's unlikely to be far away. Euchin Glen, another strong traveller, but he really does like air. It remains to be seen what kind of form he can bring to Redcar. He's £5 higher than his latest win at air, and I think this is going to be a little bit tougher for him. The interesting one could be Hibou, who raced as though he really needed the run at air over a mile earlier this month. He's a course and distance winner here at Redcar back in October. He went up £10 for that effort, and he was unable to follow up at York 7 days later. But he ran a solid race in defeat, was put away. He was ordinary last time out, but he should come on for that run, Hibou, and I think he should give a good account of himself at potentially value odds too.
Hibou then, like it in the 3.35 at Redcar, and the final race we look at is the 4.25 at Leicester. Class 3 handicap, 6 furlongs is the trip, and 11 of them set to take their place here. And you could give a good case to quite a number of these. It's quite an open race.
Yeah, Scorching Heat is probably the dark horse in the race. He could be anything. He looked quite good last time out. For an each-way play, maybe Sayessi, he's a little bit exposed for Mick Shannon, but I think he can hit the frame again, despite not winning too often. But I think Ijabi, here's the one for me, Mark, improved significantly from his Wolverhampton win back in April when he finished second at Leicester last time out. There was no excuses there, but it was an improved effort from his win, on the figures at least. And he's been racing over 7 furlongs, and I think this step back to 6 furlongs could bring about some improvement again. He's a really straightforward type, and he should find plenty at the finish. I think it is between himself and Scorching Heat, but I just think that Ijabi might find a little bit more at the finish, and that's the hope for me. So Ijabi in the 4.25.
Ijabi then in that race at Leicester. Good stuff, Kevin. Let's have a little bit of a quick summary then before you go. As usual, let's just confirm those selections for Monday.
The 3.20 at Cartmel, I'm going to go with Morning Royalty for a winner for Jimmy Moffat. The 3.30 at Windsor, Ascot Day will do for me for David Simcock. In the 3.35 at Redcar, I'm looking at Hibou to be value odds there. And in the 4.25 at Leicester, I'm hoping that Ijabi will stay on best.
Superb. Thank you very much, Kevin. Good luck and enjoy on Monday.
Cheese, Mark.
There you got the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley. Did you say cheese there? That's a new way of saying thanks. Cheese.
I was meant to say cheers, of course.
Good stuff. That's Kevin then with his thoughts on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. Alex Dunn, John Budden and Paddy Aspel, the team in the studio. Busy day as well. Leicester, Redcar, Windsor, Chelmsford City, Cartmel and Huntingdon during the afternoon. And then we've got evening racing as well from Ballinrobe. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.